God is good.
All
and all the time, God is good. Turn to Psalms 34, verse 8. That's where we'll be kind of jumping off this morning. Psalms 34, verse 8. In case you're wondering where the beautiful young lady that usually sits beside me on the front row, the great-grandparents have not seen the newest grandbaby, and she's 9 months old. And so they had to get over there and see the great-grandparents. Amen. And so so that's where her and Emily are at with David and Abigail. And so I miss my wife when she's not here. I hate to confess this, but I don't think I preach as good without her. So I'm hoping she's praying for me this morning. But you pray for us. Amen. It don't matter. You don't preach good anyhow. I just don't know whether she's here or not. No, but God's good. Amen. We're glad you're here. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're glad you're here. But we're glad he's here. Because as long as he's here, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see. Say, taste and see. Amen. That the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on leftovers. Leftovers. Let's pray. Father, in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, I thank you. Lord, my spirit is stirred tremendously this morning because what I sense that you desire to do, not only in this service, but especially in the hearts and the lives and the minds and the circumstances and the situations of your people here. Lord, let our hearts and minds be open and receptive and responsive to you. Lord, I need your help desperately this morning. I'm not able to do this in my own. Don't even want to try it, Lord, except without your anointing. Because, Lord, it's your anointing that destroys the yoke. God, help us this morning. Lord, let your anointing not only rest upon me, but upon each and every person under the sound of our voice, whether they be here or listening over the internet or by CD. And God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, that no matter where we are, there you are as well, God. And we give you the praise and the glory. Have your will and your way, and we bless your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Leftovers. You said, Brother Doss, that's not a good subject to be talking about before 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Well, that's what the Lord laid on our hearts. Amen. Now, if you look up the word leftover, it's all one word in Webster's dictionary. Now, I like this definition. Something that remains unused or unconsumed. Something that remains unused or unconsumed. That's a leftover. Now, what we would typically think is a leftover is leftover food served at a later meal. How many of you in South Alabama know what leftovers is all about as far as groceries concerned? Amen. I want us to look at leftovers this morning. No, I hadn't lost my mind. It may be not what it once was, but I'm right on target this morning, I assure you. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, he's on target. I want us to look at leftovers this morning. Think about what we were raised on. How many of us were raised eating leftovers? Come on. Your mom or dad had fixed a meal and you had some left over, but they didn't throw it out. They used to not waste food like they do today. Hello. They would take it and put it into a smaller bowl or container and put it in the refrigerator or sometimes in the freezer, and they would bring it out and use it for or in another meal till all of it was gone. I had the pleasure of going several years ago to Hungary. I didn't go hungry. You can tell I ain't been hungry too much. But I went to the country of Hungary on a mission trip, and we stayed in the homes of the people. And what you didn't eat one day was going to be showing up sometime. Them folks could stretch leftovers a mile. Hello. They had liver spread. And it sounds as good as it sounds. And I got a little taste of it and said, I ain't eating that stuff. But somewhere over the next week, we were there for over 2 weeks. But somewhere over the space of the week and a half to 2 weeks, I ate that liver spread because it was in about every kind of leftover they could do. We had it for breakfast when it first showed up. Don't that sound wonderful? See, I'm trying to get you turned a little bit. Hello. But they would bring it out and we'd use it for another meal till all of it was gone. See, they didn't want to waste it. See, the food, there was too much work in when they used to have to grow food. Hello. It cost too much to purchase the food. It took time to prepare the food. And it was still very useful for nourishment. And there was no sense in wasting it. Can you say amen? And we would receive it as leftovers. Now, there's something about some leftovers. I said some leftovers. The longer those ingredients are together, the longer they kind of sit and they merge and intermingle together, the better off they are. Now, she's in heaven, but I can still taste Sister Dot Johnson's cake, coconut cake. I'm telling you, the longer that thing sat in the refrigerator, and when it came out, the better it got. I had been fasting on a seven-day fast, and on the second day of the fast, for whatever reason, I think God made her do this to tempt me. The second day of my seven-day fast, she brings me a full coconut cake just for me. And she sets it there on the Sunday school desk. And I said, Lisa, did you tell her I was fasting? She said, she didn't ask. You mean I'm going to have to sit there and think about that cake till I get through with my fast? I said, Lord, some temptation. That's a rough temptation. Can you say amen? But I want you to understand something. When I did get a chance to taste that cake, woo, it was just as good as when she first made it, probably a little bit better. Some things are better when the ingredients get together. How about some chili? We're talking about having soups next week. Boy, them homemade soups, they're a little bit better the second or third day. Can you say amen? Some casseroles. I was raised eating leftovers, and as you can see, it has not stunted my growth. Hello. But today I want us to look at not the leftover physical food that still has tremendous benefits for us, but spiritual leftovers. See, it cost the Son of God a great deal. It was a long time in preparation, but yet it still can and does have spiritual impact on our lives and on our hearts. And not only on us, but on those that we come into contact with. If we are willing to partake of the spiritual leftover, keep in mind the definition of leftover, something that remains unused or unconsumed. And once we consume it and we allow it to have its full effect on us, it will and can have a full impact on others as well. That's why we use this scripture, Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. I want us to look at some examples of what we call spiritual leftovers and the impact that it has. Not going to go into a whole lot of detail on these except the last one. In 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning at verse 20, then Elisha died and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Man, what a powerful experience. Elisha was the protege of Elijah. Elijah did 16 miracles, but when Elijah was taken up, Elisha asked for a double portion. And Elisha had done, up to this point, 31 miracles, because this became the last miracle that he did. And he was dead and gone. Can you say amen? But his bones were still available. His bones were in a tomb, but there was something that was still moving in his bones. Something that was still having an effect in his bones, even though he's dead and gone. What's going on? He's got the leftover of God's anointing and God's presence still upon his physical bones. And the Jews, they were burying a man, and they saw the Moabites coming to attack where they were at, And they didn't have time to bury him. They said, well, somebody had the good presence. If we're going to throw him in a tomb, let's throw him in Elisha's tomb. They're not going to mess with Elisha. The Moabites wasn't going to mess with Elisha because he had wreaked havoc through the Lord upon their army. Can you say amen? They said, let's throw him in Elisha's tomb. And as soon as they took this dead man, said dead man. And as soon as they took that dead man and placed him in Elisha's tomb, as soon as that dead body rolled over and touched those bones, come on, somebody. All of a sudden, that man stood upon his feet and got up. Why? Because the leftover anointing of God, that which was unused or unconsumed, there was still enough of God in those dead bones to raise the dead. Can you say amen? There was so much anointing left. Can you imagine that man that had been dead, he was thankful for the leftovers. Can you say amen? It had a powerful, tremendous effect and impact on the lives of those men. Even in the midst of the battle, God's power was still working through the bones of his faithful prophet, though he was deceased. God's leftovers have power greater than death and hell and the grave, and they still do today. We're going to see that in just a moment. God's leftovers have power greater than death, hell, and the grave, and they still do today. Let's go back a little time to a young man by the name of Joshua. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. What's going on? The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They were encamped at Mount Sinai. Moses had gone up to get the commands of God on the two tablets of stone. But while he was up there and delayed his coming, the children of Israel, the Bible says, they ate and drank and they rose up to play. They backslid, basically. And when Moses came down, God says, get down, for this stiff-necked people have already corrupted themselves. When Moses sees what's going on, he takes those two tablets and he throws them at the foot of the mountain and they break into pieces. Where we're at, we're in the between the time where Moses received the first two tablets and the second two tablets. But in that time frame, the Bible says Moses took his tent or the tabernacle. And he says, I'm not going to allow that because that's where the presence of God came down. He says, I'm going to take it out of the center of camp. I'm going to take it way out on the outside of the camp. And Moses would go out. It was known as the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. And Moses would go out and meet with God. And when Moses would head out to meet with God at the tabernacle, all of Israel would stand in their tents and they would watch Moses heading out to the tabernacle. And as soon as Moses entered into the door of the tabernacle, the cloud, the glory cloud of God, the presence of God would come and sit down in the door of the tabernacle. And God would speak to Moses face to face. But Moses was not alone in the tabernacle. There was his assistant, Joshua, that was there. Now, we don't know if Joshua heard the conversation. We don't know how close Joshua was in proximity to all this. But Joshua was somewhere in the vicinity. When Moses got through speaking with the Lord, and the Lord got through speaking with Moses, then the cloud would lift. And as the scripture said, Moses would head back to camp. But Joshua stayed inside the tabernacle. I believe Joshua was wanting some more of the Lord. I believe Joshua said, you know what? My experience, I'm not walking in the same level of anointing that Moses is walking in. God is not speaking to me face to face. God is not dealing with me and using me like he's using Moses. But there's something about his presence that I've got to have more of. There's something I have when I'm in this tabernacle. There's something I have in the temple. There's something I've got to experience more of God. I'm not going to get it back in my tent. I'm not going to get it out in the woods. I'm not going to get it during my daily routine. The only place I'm going to find it is in his presence. So the Bible says Joshua, the young man, would stay in the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. See, even though God wasn't speaking to him, even though the cloud was not still there, I believe there was enough residual left over. There was enough unused portion and presence of God. God may not have been speaking to Joshua face to face, but the Spirit of God was dealing with Joshua's heart. And while Joshua was in the temple, God was dealing with Joshua, preparing him for what lied ahead. And Joshua had no idea what was coming, that he was going to be the next leader of Israel. He had no idea. But what prepared him to be the leader, the next leader, was he was willing to stay behind and enjoy the presence and spend time in the presence of God. He says, I want more of the Lord. Even though I'm not walking in the same place, he was faithful to Moses as his assistant. He was faithful to Moses as his servant. But he wanted his own relationship with God. He was willing to stay behind and do whatever it takes to commune with the Lord. Everybody else has done gone about their business. Moses has done gone back to the camp. Everything's going on in the camp. But Joshua is spending time in the presence of the Lord. And it was that time that prepared him for the task that God had for him to do ahead. See, Joshua was soaking up the what? The leftovers. The unused portion. The unconsumed portion. Joshua was tasting and seeing that the Lord was good. Can you say amen? He was experiencing more of the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen? And that presence was enough to sustain and satisfy and prepare him for what lay ahead. See, we got to understand this, church. The fullness of the presence of the Lord is far more than one person can fathom or take in completely. The question is this. What are you going to do when you sense the presence and closeness of the Lord? What are you going to do? How will you let it, how will you allow it to affect your life? Will you respond as Joshua did in love and dedication and commitment and to be able to commune with the Lord? Lord, I just want to experience more of you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. How will you let it affect you? Will you respond as Joshua did to spend time in his presence? To experience the leftovers, the unused or unconsumed portion, but he was consuming the presence of his Lord. See, that unused or unconsumed portion of his presence still can and will have a powerful effect on our lives. And not only on our lives, but on the lives of others. Joshua had a hunger for more of his presence. Let's bring it on up to the New Testament. Are y'all with me this morning? Matthew chapter 15. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There are many ways this verse and this passage has been looked at, but it was this passage that inspired this message. This woman is a Gentile. She is from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And as we begin to see this account play out, there are some things about the culture you and I must understand. Jews, for the most part, did not speak or have any dealings with the Gentiles, and Gentiles didn't, for the most part, have any dealings with the Jews. The Jews would look down on the Gentiles, and it was very uncommon for a Jewish man to be able to speak to a Gentile woman. But this woman does not let culture stop her. because her need was greater than what the culture tried to dictate of that day. She comes humbly to him and she makes her request. Verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, capital L, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She calls him Lord. She humbly comes to him and she makes her request. And Jesus, in his love and his mercy and his grace, he does not answer her a word. See, that was common in culture because Jewish men did not speak to Gentile women. She was used to that. In fact, the disciples said, Lord, send her away because she cries after us. They would not even address her. God, get rid of this woman because she is pursuing us. She is crying out after us. But she don't let the disciples stop her. She don't let the culture norm stop her. Jesus speaks to her in verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus tells her, he says, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was not sent but to the Jews. She understands this. Because in the Jewish religion, in the Jewish culture, Jews never ministered to Gentiles. They would always minister to Jews. They was always ministered to the Hebrew people because the Hebrew people were the chosen people of God. They were the chosen. They were the ones that God had led out of Egypt. Can you say amen? She understood this. She understood that she had heard that the Messiah was coming and he was going to be ministering to the Jews. But yet she was going past beyond the religious norm. Jesus says, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the Jews, the house of Israel. She knew this because Jews, again, mainly ministered and reached out to the Jews. But she just keeps coming. Touch your neighbor and say, she just keeps coming. Verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She done got past the culture. She done came past the crowd. She done got past the disciples. And she gets up to him. And that word worship means she lays prostrate out before him. And she bows down and she begins to worship him. And she says, Lord, help me. She's crying out to him and still calling upon him in reverence. She calls him Lord. She's worshiping him. She is desperate. She's hungry. She has a need. But then Jesus answered her and says this, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now you've got to understand, it's not good to take the Jews, the children's bread, what he's talking about, the Jews' favor, the Jews' benefits, the Jews' blessing, the Jews' place, the things that were meant only for the Jews, and throw it to the little dogs. Jesus was not speaking an insult over her from himself. Again, he was using the terms of the culture because that's what the Jews called the Gentiles. They would call them dogs or little dogs. Little dogs was a little bit nicer term. I don't care. Anytime you're being called a dog's a dog. Can you say amen? Sorry, Brother Caleb. I'm not knocking dogs this morning. But so he seems to be softening up his approach. It's not good. It's not good to take the favor and the blessing and the benefits and what's meant for the Jews to give it to the Gentiles or the little dog. Which again, this woman being a Gentile living also in close proximity to the Jews was more than well aware of. He was testing her faith. How bad do you want this? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to go through? But here's where it all comes together. Here's where it all comes together. Verse 27. And she said, yes, Lord. Again, calling him Lord. Yet even the dog, little dogs, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Every time she addresses him and she calls him Lord, humbly, reverently, earnestly, and respectfully. But what did she say? Even the little dogs eat the crumb which fall from their master's table. Even the Gentiles can benefit and be blessed by your leftovers because you are the master. Lord, your crumbs. Your leftovers is more than enough. It may not be the full measure of what the Jews have, Lord, but your crumbs, your leftovers is more than enough to meet my daughter's need, to deliver her. You've got enough left over, God, to just give me what my daughter needs. Can you say amen? The leftovers are enough, oh God, to meet my daughter's need, to deliver her. Woo, everything changes. Notice how Jesus responds. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Her request was answered. Her need was met. Her daughter was delivered by the crumbs, the leftover. Something that remains unused or unconsumed that came from his hand. And Jesus commended her for her great faith. See, her faith was not in the crumbs. Her faith was not in the leftovers. But her faith was in him. By whatever part he was willing to release, even if it was a crumb, even if it was just a small amount, even if it was just a leftover, was more than enough to meet her need and deliver her daughter. What a powerful statement. Lord, whatever you're willing to release, even if it's just a crumb, even if it's just a minuscule amount, it's more than enough to meet my need. She went from calling him Lord, she also called him Master. Here's what all three accounts have in common. Here's what all three accounts, are y'all with me this morning? To experience the power of leftovers. They all had to come in close contact to his presence. The man had to literally touch the bones of Elisha. Whoop, boom, as soon as he touched the bones. Joshua stayed behind in the tabernacle. The woman came and just kept coming after Jesus until they experienced the power of the leftovers. Can you say amen? See, if you're going to experience the power of the leftovers, the unused or unconsumed portion, you must draw closer to him. You must draw closer to him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to, if we're going to draw close to God, we need to lay everything else aside, because all this other stuff in the world, all this other junk and distractions in our mind, all our hurts and our pains and our missteps and our mistakes of the past will not do us any good to be able to meet the need and get us to the place where God would have us to be and where we need to be. Can you say amen? Where we can experience his strength, his joy, his peace, his presence, his power flowing in our lives like he desires. If we'll lay all that aside, he says, if you'll just draw close to God, he will draw close to you. Come on, somebody. Number two, they humbled themselves before the Lord in order that they may experience his presence. Even though others were having more powerful experiences or were seemingly closer to the Lord. Joshua and the woman. The dead guy didn't have much choice. But somebody, I just got to say perhaps. If you're going to be thrown anywhere in a tomb, I believe I'd rather be thrown in Elisha's tomb. I don't want to be thrown in there with Charles Manson. I got a choice. I'm going in there with Elisha. Even the dead, I'm going to snuggle up. But Joshua was not being presumptuous. The woman was not being presumptuous, because both of them approached the Lord in a very humble, dedicated, committed manner. Lord, I want to experience more of what you have. Moses is talking to you face to face. I can't split the Red Sea. I can't cause the Nile to turn to blood. I can't bring a locust swarm. I can't call fire down, Lord. But I just want more of your presence, oh God. I've got to have more of your presence, God. I'm not walking in the same place as Moses, but God, walking with you is better than any place or anything I've ever walked with on this earth. I want more of your presence. And the woman went past her cultural norms, went past her political and her religious norms. Say, Lord, Master, even your leftovers, even your crumbs are enough to meet my need. Brother Doss, you've taken two experiences. Oh, let's throw another one in there real quick. Woman had an issue of blood. Many, many years, and spent all she had on physicians and didn't help her any. But she said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need to talk to him. I don't need him to do anything. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can just get a hold of the leftover, if I can, I believe there's enough residual anointing flowing on the inside and on the outside. I believe there's enough anointing in that just the hem of his garment to meet my need that this world could not take care of. And she pressed through in all her uncleanness. She pressed through the crowd. She pressed through everybody saying, you're unclean, you're not supposed to be here. She pressed through all that, and she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately when she touched the hem of his garment, whoo, the fountain of her blood dried up. First time in many, many years. And she felt in her body that she was made whole. Oh, but Jesus felt something. Everybody's around him. And all of a sudden he said, whoo, wait a minute. Somebody done touched me. The disciple says, what do you mean somebody touched you? There's a bunch of people are thronging you. Everybody's touching you. He said, but somebody touched me. Somebody got a hold of the leftover. Somebody got a hold of the anointing. Somebody, he said, because I felt the power flow from my body. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Go your way. Your faith is what made you whole. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, church, we must humble ourselves before the Lord that we may experience the fullness of his presence, purpose, and plans for our lives. Even though others may seem to be having greater experiences or seem to be closer to the Lord, don't focus on them, because I just came by to tell you this morning, God has got something in store for you personally. God has got something in store for you personally that you've not tapped into yet, that you've not experienced yet, that you've not felt yet, that has not touched your life yet. What is it? It's a leftover that he's got in the refrigerator, his refrigerator, with your name on it. Number three, the encounter tremendously changed their lives. It brought a dead man back to life. Don't you know that changed his outlook a little bit? Perhaps, say perhaps. I think about things. After the Moabites left, can you imagine when those guys brought that dead man back to his family, to his wife and children? How did that happen? I don't know. But when I woke up, I felt something shoot through my body. There was a power of God that came upon me while I was in a tomb, when I was dead. And I'm alive today. Come on, let me show you where it happened. I believe he took his wife. I believe he took his family. I believe he took his children back to the place where it happened. We're not looking at Elijah's tomb. This was the power of God that did this. Can you say amen? It changed Joshua's life because he became the leader of God's people, because he spent time in his presence. The woman's daughter was healed and she became a follower of Christ. She called him Lord and Master. See, when we encounter the leftovers, it tremendously changes our life. Brother Doss, you're still not making much sense. How many of you are saved this morning? How many of you have given your heart to the Lord? Come on, don't be. You've given your heart to the Lord. Listen to me. In order for you to be saved, you must have placed your faith and belief and received what Jesus did through the cross and the empty tomb 2,000 years ago. Because before you got saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin. But this time you didn't touch a dead man's bones. Because Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came out of that grave 3 days after he died on the cross, and he came out of that grave defeating death, hell, and the grave. But the door, Jesus Christ, there was enough power released on Calvary and on the morning of his resurrection to save every man, woman, boy, or girl, past, present, and future. It just hadn't all been acquired yet. It's not all been consumed yet. It's not all been experienced yet. The first drop of blood was enough to cleanse the whole world of sin. It just hadn't all been consumed yet. Can you say amen? And the only way you could have experienced salvation is you believed in what Jesus did on a place most of us never been, on a hill outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and in the garden tomb when he came out of the tomb. I'm saved by leftover. Because see, once I get saved, it's no longer a leftover. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Can you say amen? The results of the leftovers of Calvary is that he raises us back to life. When we apply the principles and promises of this book, it leads us into God's presence and plans and purpose for our lives. And it prepares us for what lies ahead. It gives us help for today and hope for tomorrow. Now, think about this. This book was written over a 1,600-year span by 40 different authors. This book was completed about somewhere around the year AD 100. That's 1,900 years ago. This is an old book. This is an old book. But this book is more than pages and a backing, and letters on a page. This book is spirit and it is life. You and I can't get saved unless we know this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's as we study this book, who is spirit and life, that we can find salvation, that we can find healing, that we can find deliverance, that we can find comfort, that we can find peace, that we can find joy. This book is still talking about the things that are going on in our day today. Can you say amen? Why? Because it's alive and well. We are living on the leftovers of this book, things that are not consumed, things we've not experienced. We've not experienced everything in this book yet. We've not experienced everything in this book yet, but let me tell you, the closer I find in this book, the more I apply its principles, the more powerful it becomes. There's something about this book. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Washington shall pass away. But my word shall never pass away. Amen. The same Jesus that woman came into contact with on that day is the same Jesus that you can come to on this day. Sometimes we don't put those together. See, he's the same. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has more than enough to meet your need. He has more than enough to meet your need. The power that he obtained for you and I when he allowed himself to be tied to that whipping post for our healing, oh, there's still healing done today. The salvation that he obtained on Calvary's tree and by that empty tomb, people are still being saved today. Brother Dawes, when was the last time you've been saved? This past weekend. There's about 20-something men got saved at a men's conference. About 15, 20 men got filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of us got a good refilling. Hallelujah, glory to God. Romans says we have been grafted in. It's not about Jews and Gentiles anymore, but it's about people accepting and believing and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm closing this morning, one more thing these three accounts have in common. Listen to me very carefully. One more thing these three encounters have in common. Not one of them was an accidental encounter. Not one of them was an accidental encounter. God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had a reason. God had a purpose to raise that man up as soon as his bones hit Elisha. God had a purpose for Joshua. Joshua may not have realized it at the time, but as Joshua said, Lord, I just want more of your presence, God was preparing him for the task that lay ahead. God had a purpose for that woman who was not a Jew, who was outside the religious establishment, who was outside the chosen, who was doing things that were not politically correct. Something inside her just kept driving. So if I can just get to him, if I can just cry out to him, if I could just get him to respond in any way, shape, or form, my daughter shall be healed. If I can just get a crumb, if I can just get a little leftover. Can I tell you the same Jesus that's touched these people is the same Jesus? There's not a person here today that's here by accident today. Wherever you came from, however you got here, you're here by divine appointment of the Lord. And God's got something for you personally today. The question is this: are you willing to do what it takes to receive it? Are you willing to lay some things aside? Lay aside the pride. Lay aside the fear of what others may think. Say, Lord, I just got to come. And I got to experience what you have for me. See, it's an unused portion. It's something not consumed yet. You hadn't obtained it yet. But let me tell you, it's here for you this morning. He has left it over for you. It's got your name on it. He's designed it with you in mind. I believe there's a lot of folks here that got a lot of stuff and a lot of baggage. But he wants to help you unpack this morning so he can restore your joy, your peace, your strength. So he can heal your body, so he can take care of your sorrow, so he can stop the confusion. But you've got to be like that woman. You've got to press through everything and say, I've got to get to him. I've got to get to him. Pastor Doss, you don't want to know what it's like to answer an altar call. You're a preacher. Preachers need altar calls too. Friday night, Rick Allen, the National Men's Director, was preaching on righteousness. He said, if you want to be a righteous man, he ended his sermon, people started clapping. He said, no, stop. He said, a righteous man knows what to do. All of a sudden, there was a bunch of young kids, young guys started getting up and headed to the altar. I said, this old boy needs much more righteousness than I have. And the only place I can find it is in his presence. Even if it's a leftover, there's enough crumbs left over for God to take care of my need. Powerful experience. See, I had to lay aside the pride of my ministry. Bless God, he's Pastor Doss. I'm just as natural as you. I need him more as much as you do. What are you willing to do to get what God has for you today? God wants you to experience his leftover, something that remains unused and unconsumed that he has for you, whatever you need, your need might be. Once you encounter it, it will no longer be a leftover, but a personal experience that leads to a closer personal relationship with the all-powerful personal Savior. It will change your life. The leftovers that impacted their lives is no greater, no different than the leftover God has for you. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me, said, there's somebody here this morning and you felt dry in your spirit for a long time. You just got to get back to the place where it was poured out on you at the beginning, where he can feel your heart and feel your soul and feel your spirit, where you can experience the cleansing and the removal of the dryness. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What are you willing to do for God? Are you willing to humble yourself and get to the place where you can experience what God has for you? As Brother Kip comes and the worship team comes, I want to make a strong statement. Again, there's not a person here by accident. But I believe God has something for each and every person in this house this morning. A higher level, a deeper walk, a closer relationship, a greater experience. If we're willing to reach out and say, oh Lord, have mercy and help me, He will. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. If there's things you need to lay aside, it's time to lay them aside. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm willing to get, I want to see what God has for me today. I want to experience my leftover that God has for me today. I believe there's some